Yep. So there may be some here you've probably not met you before. So would you like to tell us just a little bit about yourself? I'm sure you're going.
Yeah, I'm going to. Good evening. It's very good to be here. Glad to be here, and thank you to Mike and Dim for inviting me. See, happy sabbatical. for inviting me. We've had a connection with you guys more directly since 2017, when I was in an Anglican church down the road in Stoke, and then in Eastbourne before we left. Then since 2017, together with family, moved back to be involved with the church ministry, ideally long-term church planting in Nairobi, and I'll share a little bit about that. So Rachel, especially my wife, knows Sarah Smith through family. I know some of you might know from Christchurch, Simon and Bex. Yeah, so I was on Cornhill with Simon, and then I went on to Oak Hill. I knew Simon back the way back, before children, when we still had lots of hair back in the day. So we're in Nairobi, so Kip, obviously, then Rachel, married to Rachel, then our four children. Elijah, who's the oldest, then second born is this chap here, Ezra, then third is Susanna, and then Bethany. Okay, the four children, fondly known as the Kiplings. So that's us. They're all under. I'm not good at ages. Under 10, basically. So take it like that. So we're based out in Nairobi. How many have been to Kenya? I know it's Dan. Let me actually recognise you. Some of you know Dan Young, Vicar Toft. Dan, thanks for coming all the way. So we sent a newsletter to tell folk where we'll be and ask them to come there. And Dan, thanks for coming. But I know Dan's been. Who has been to Kenya? So the rest of those who've not been, who knows where Kenya is in Africa? North, south, east, or west? Oh, you guys are very good. You know your geography. East, very good. So just, I was speaking to someone the other day, and I said, we're in Nairobi. And they said, is that in Ethiopia? I was like, no. Kenya, bang on the equator. Relevant, actually, for us at this moment as we visit with our kids, because Kenya, one of the distinguishing things of being on the equator is the sun sets and rises roughly at the same time every day. When we were kids, we used to be told, just be back before it's dark. You can't do that here, because in the summer, kids will be back, goodness knows what. So that's where we are. And we're in Nairobi, the capital there. About 4 or 5 million people in Nairobi, capital city, and that's where we're based. And what to say, I want to use, I could do lots of things to tell you about our ministry and what life's been like since we went back in 2017. I want to use a theme of diversity, how there's great contrast in you could say Nairobi, Kenya, East Africa, Africa really, great contrast. And here's a good one, you might recognize this. So the whole sort of coexistence of wildlife and the city, right next to each other. If you're lucky, this is the national park on the way into the city from the airport. Now, if you're lucky, not always, you can see zebra or giraffe or buffalo and so on. Okay, so right next. If I remember correctly, the only city in the world with a national park. So you've got this coexistence right next to each other. Look at this other nice one here. That is not where we live. So this used to be one of the old colonial British folk who lived here, now moved back, but it's become a very upmarket hotel in the southwest of Nairobi. And for breakfast, you can, as a privilege, feed the giraffes if you want. And if you look carefully as well, there's a little warthog here. So quite exclusive. I've not really actually been, but we know where it is. So again, urban and wild, really close together in the city. Here's another one. That previous picture, southwest, this is the northwest, the road from Nairobi out into the Rift Valley. And we live very near here. But again, if you look carefully, this whole idea of contrast or diversity exists. So these are public service vehicles, sort of public transport, no train, but that's the main, called matatu. You've got people in their own cars. But if you look carefully in between all these people, when there's traffic, all these guys come to try and make a living, who are basically on the breadline, trying to sell stuff. All these are selling bits of food, bits of cheap furniture, you know, trying to get make a living, almost on the breadline. And not far from here, there's a slum. In fact, next picture, I think, shows this well. Photo taken by a drone from the air. And the top are sort of what you'd say are middle-class homes. You can see people there with their cars and so on. There'd be 3-4-bedroom houses. Right next to it is a slum. Okay, people packed into these tiny shacks, basically, and they live in the UK. You might get reasonably rich neighborhoods and poor together, but not literally next to each other like this. Incredible contrast, diversity, if you like, and you get that existing. What else? Painful picture, I know, but this is again 2-3 minutes from where we live. I found a local carpenter to make me a bookshelf, went to pick it up. Next thing was another carpenter making on the road, this is on the side of the road, a coffin. And the kids from the slum have nothing to do but just watch, and that's basically their life. Okay, so Kenya, Nairobi, life, color, diversity, and then you've got life on one hand, but death, and it's just there, almost present with you, and it's not hidden anywhere, and even the kids just watching and almost helping, if you like. Quite a juxtaposition. The other thing, people like Dan, who've been more recently, and others, you'll know if you're ever in Nairobi, is the presence of the police, especially traffic police, everywhere. Okay, we've been stopped numerous times. You just find them all over, and quite worryingly, unlike here, traffic police, and they often carry these rifles with them. So if they tell you to stop, you will stop. One stopped and got into the car, and you almost say, "Tell me what to do, and I'll do it," because there's this weapon armed very near you. So you've got this checking cars, telling once they lift their hand, that means stop. I want to check your vehicle, check that all is okay, and you'd expect therefore that all is well on the roads, and yet you see things like this. Okay, just check this. At least the rider's got a helmet. So that's good. But check this chap just hanging for dear life, right? You only need to tap something, and who knows what could happen, right? Check images like this, right? Nicely, or this, the next one that was in the news, it made national news recently. Okay, check this lady going home with her firewood. Apparently, gone to get some firewood to cook food for the night. Just didn't know how, he wanted to take as much, and so she just hangs on this thing for dear life. And someone was overtaking, so this put it and made it onto the national news. Look at the next, last one. One way to travel. Traveling business class, I suppose. And that's just for the motorbikes. They've been actually a cause of great... there's a whole... Increasingly, hospitals in Nairobi have a whole wing just for guys on the motorbikes with their road traffic accidents. It's that serious. So you wonder what these guys are doing. And when you dig down, they're not there for the traffic and order. They're there to collect bribes, to make money. Okay, they're not there for your good. They're there for their own good. Interesting juxtaposition there. There's another one that's basically, we do have Anglican churches, but this is just one of the mainstream kind of contemporary churches. And by and large, not always, not everywhere, by and large, especially the more established ones, churches are very full, very large. I didn't get a photo of the Anglican Cathedral in Nairobi, but they see on a Sunday about 6,000-7,000 people on Sunday. They have numerous services pretty much throughout the day. So it's full, like that's a kind of normal Kenyan church. Not non-Anglican, it's full, and yet you see articles like this. Okay, this was just before we left. What date is that? That was end of June. Kenya, bottom of the pile in global study on honesty. So people are going to church, almost like we were hearing with the sermon. We've got religion and kind of publicly, and yet there's still corruption in society. And this is just one issue. We could talk about teenage pregnancies being a high rate. We could talk about corruption, incredible. We could talk about HIV among the young, drugs, just all kinds of issues all over. So religion, and yet there seems to be, as Paul puts it in 2 Timothy, denying its power, that kind of thing. What is the answer? What is the answer? Our motto for the ministry we are seeking to be involved in and establish is this phrase. It's not original to me, but we would like to be about all of Christ for all of life, for all the world. All of Christ, not just a bit of him, but all that he did and came to do for us, his life, death, resurrection, ascension, his return to judge the living and the dead, for all of life. So, as I said, churches are full on Sunday, but we don't want it that they're there, jovial and singing praise the Lord and all dressed up, and then Monday to Saturday just doing something different. All of Christ for all of life, marriage, children, money, truth, public life. And then once we embrace Christ fully, then we can take him to the world. Okay, all of Christ for all of life for all the world. This verse has been a great, meant a lot as we've been thinking about how to bridge all these contrasts and diversities. Paul writing from Ephesians 4, he himself is our peace, Christ, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, so that in himself, in Christ, he might make the two into one new man. Christ coming brought the cut off the barrier between Jew and Gentile, thus establishing peace. And he did it, it's possible, such a, in the ancient world, those two were really opposed to each other. He did it by reconciling them both in one body. Our biggest problem, actually, is the hostility, the division between God and man. And if Christ could bridge that gap and bring us into union with God through his death, his blood on the cross, then every division, every barrier is possible to be broken. And so our vision is to see different tribes who are hostile to each other, rich and poor, who increasingly want to be separate from each other. We want to see all these divisions, sort of religion and or people going to church but not living the truth. We want to see those things broken, and the way to do that is to keep pointing them to the one who brings unity, true unity, Jesus Christ. All of Christ, for all of life, for all the world. Now, practically, how have we tried to do this? Point people to Christ. Let me just mention, this is not all by any means some of the things. Bible study. We have a Bible study in our home every week in Nairobi. So that's me leading one of the sessions. And then Rachel, my wife, has been wonderful. Kenyans, I suppose most people do. Kenyans love fellowship and eating. And Rachel's been wonderful at hosting people and just cooking and providing. So we have a bit of food together before the study, and then we've been working through a Bible overview the past few months, and going to continue that when we go back. And wonderful. Yeah, we've had a whole different group of this guy here, actually. It's wonderful. This guy here, severely depressed and unemployed, and just wonderful to see him beginning to open up. And really, again, as you present Christ and share Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, people find life, and that's been good to see. I've also been involved, I think Mike knows about this initiative out in Nairobi. This is a chap who was in set up an institute. He was here in London doing the Cornhill course, went back and decided to set up something similar, iServe Africa. And I've been quite involved with that, doing quite a bit of teaching, which has been wonderful. These young people enthusiastic, and seeing them beginning to grasp how everything in the scriptures, old and new, point to Christ. That's been a great joy. But even then, there have been challenges. So I wouldn't actually point out who, but there's a guy here who became very friendly, one of the guys on this photo, once said, "I want you to be my mentor, help me to grow in preaching," but basically discovered not long after that he just wanted to be a friend because he wanted to ask for money and has been asking for money. And just that's all they want. And really, it wasn't about the word. So there's been heartache and disappointment, but amongst that as well, people who really do want to grow in the word. Since arriving in Nairobi in 2017, we've partnered with this local church. So I did some church planting training out in the States, and one of the things we were encouraged to do is to make sure you don't just do things on your own, but to have someone local on the ground. So we're partnered with people like yourselves and churches elsewhere in the UK and other individuals like Dan and so on. But we were encouraged to have a partner on the ground. And this church we found almost by accident, if we can say that as Christians, but they've been wonderful to us. Wonderful because lots of different nationalities, Canadian, Japanese, this guy's Zimbabwean, I can't remember. So various different nationalities. Then a lot of these children, especially in this row here, are from the slums. So it was great to see a church that lived something of what we would like to see. They were very small when we turned, or smallish when we turned up. Over the year we've been there, yeah, in a bit, they have grown. And one of the reasons we're here in the UK seeing partners and speaking to people is that they've actually asked us to consider staying with them for a while to see them grow better, grow more, and then we can plant perhaps under them. And so the desire to church plant remains, but we sense God leading us to help these guys grow. When we turned up, they were about not more than 30, and now they're kind of hitting 70-odd. And so they've asked me to be one of the pastors and see them grow even more to a good number, and then perhaps to take some of them to plant somewhere else. And so we're sharing that openly with the churches who support us, people who know us, that they might know where we're at. The vision to church plant remains, but we'll be working with these guys a bit more for the foreseeable for currently at the moment. Those are the pastors. So one of the guys I showed before, one of the pastors, Japanese guy, Pastor Ichihashi, and what, that's a Kenyan. And again, even there, just to see the diversity in the leadership has been a great encouragement. They planted this church 20 years ago, but because of various challenges, work with the slum kids, it's been slow growing. And so, and perhaps in some ways there have been various discouragements, but they're like, please help us to grow, to be focused on the word and so on. Rachel's been very involved in Sunday school. And here's a plug for you, if you've had enough of this interesting summer, look at Sunday school happening outside, come and join us if you've had enough of this weather. So there's a Sunday school. Rachel's been very involved in that, training, teaching, modeling what it is to be, not just to think about, Sunday schools tend to be teachers just spewing out and not really engaging with the kids, but trying to find ways to connect with the children. Thinking of Old Testament as a pointer to Christ, not just teach morals, but finding ways that points us to Christ. I've done a bit of work with a young men, again, from most of these would be from the slums, a lot of these either from single-parent homes or like this chap here, orphan, abandoned when he was a child, a very tough background. And part of their background reflects what they're like. So I did a session on relationships with them, and I asked them a question on what would make for an ideal partner. As you're looking for, when you're getting to that stage, ideal, what would be someone ideal partner, someone who's not an ideal partner? And here are some of the answers. I want to just point out three, actually. This one, look at this guy. The guy says, what makes for a good partner? Christian and cute. Okay. And then not good, someone who uses drugs. Because especially in the slums, that's a real issue. It's present everywhere. Perhaps to avoid or to escape some of the issues that are there. But look at the last two. I think these were very interesting. I don't think you'd get this in the UK. What would make for a good partner? First thing, money. But they'd have money. Okay? What would make for a bad partner? Someone who's broke. Fascinating. Okay? What would make for the next one is slightly better. What would make for a good partner? Good character. Okay, fine. What would make for a bad partner? Someone without any money. Right? Fascinating, I think. Reveals, again, the pressure. And in that kind of context, to kind of remind people and keep coming back to Christ. He has come not to steal, kill, or destroy, but to give us life and life to the full. And then trying to live that and share that with some of these young guys from very broken homes. So yes, we are with this small church, but ideally our vision is to church bond, and that's the kind of church, focused on scripture, musically good, Kenyans love to sing, big on discipleship. This is very important to us, it might not be an issue perhaps here, but multi-tribal, multicultural leadership. Again, reminding us that it's not in your tribe you get your identity, it's not in your background, it's not in your education, but we find it in Jesus Christ. And the way to do that, we feel, is if you have this multicultural team that leads, rather than who's my friend and which is my group. And then because of all the issues in the culture of people proclaiming Christ or coming to church but not living it, we need to have a church truly that is bold enough to exercise church discipline, to call people to repent when they do that. So let me finish with prayer points. Thank you for your support. I know missionaries do this all the time, but we really mean it. For the churches like yourselves and Christchurch, which I was at Christchurch this morning, an afternoon, actually, but it's been wonderful to have churches that love Christ, big on the gospel. We know that you pray for us. You have no idea how much of a help it is. There are some of you I send a newsletter out every 2 months, and then there are some of you on a WhatsApp group that I send more weekly updates. And the number of times we've sent updates for people to pray and felt God's hand upholding us have been incredible. It is wonderful. So we thank those who pray for us. I've seen we've got our kind of prayer pointers there that you've been praying for as a church. We thank the Lord for that. Thank you for your support. Please continue praying. I've got four things, all beginning with S. The first one is pray for our safety. Huge issue. You forget, really. I'm sure here you need to pray for safety, but it's just a more present issue out in Nairobi, and you feel it more. Driving, one of the issues, okay? Driving is just, Rachel refuses to drive in the city center. She drives where we are, but like, it's chaos, and it's mayhem, and you can look at the policeman just standing, not bothered about controlling it. So they're there, okay, now's not a time to get bribes, let's just stand and look busy, but actually not doing much. So safety in terms of driving, oh yes, there's another, look at that. I was driving, and a car just drove off in front of me. Walked in front of me. So danger from cars, danger from animals, cows. And people, Kenyans are so used to this hazards on the road that they just, no one really bothers. Okay, so it's just normal life. If this happened here, I'm sure it'll make BBC Cheshire news. Okay, and the guy just walks past like it's normal. Right. So pray for safety on the roads. Big issue. In the last month before coming, in the month of June, we've been here about 2 weeks. Rachel and I have seen. Well, I saw one actually on my own, but Rachel and I have seen 2-3 road traffic accidents, one of which had a fatality that just happened. And people shrug their shoulders and move on. So pray for safety. Look at that, DIY. And people just are so casual about this. So this is in our home. Those, again, who read our news, get our newsletter, know we've had massive issues with the house, leaking, electrical faults. We almost had a fire. And when the guys come, the guys to repair, just so casual. This guy is doing, he's drilling, there's nails on the floor, serious equipment here, and he's barefoot. Okay, but they don't mind it. And then he had to do some electrical work, some drilling, just puts the stuff into the sockets. And Rachel says to him, look, is this really safe? And the guy goes, oh, we do this all the time. Okay, and you just, it's really, yeah, quite unnerving. So pray safety is a big issue. So pray for strength. Naturally, you can see why. With life so intense and varied and things coming at you you don't expect, we find from time to time you're very exhausted. Okay, life is just very tiring, to be honest. And just for strength to keep going, to keep serving. Family, we're near family, but there have been challenges. And my brother there, he's had all kinds of drug-related issues, been very difficult. So pray for strength. There's Rachel doing the weekly shop in what would be our Sainsbury's, just veg on the road by the roadside. Nice way to get to know people, but again, you know, you have to spend hours cleaning it and getting it all ready. That's water from the tap. We only get water 3 days a week, and sometimes when it comes after the break, that's what the color is like. Okay, and so strength, I suppose, pray for health, because there just hazards, things here you take for granted. You have to deal with. Pray for supplies. Money, provision, things we need. This year we've decided that we've been homeschooling our children, or schooling Elijah, especially our oldest, partly to save money. State schools are really bad, really, really bad. Drugs, teachers don't turn up, huge class sizes and so on. So the other option are private schools, but they are very expensive, phenomenally expensive. There's a school near us. We're not sending Elijah there, but the school near us, one of the best, I suppose, per a year, about £30,000 per child. So we find another nice one. Good Christian school set up by missionaries in the early 1900s. Yeah, for a missionary, we'll do you a discount, you know, $10,000. Who can afford? So we're sending him to a much smaller school, nothing near that much. But again, it's for the coming. We've not done that. Partly we're trying to save money, then we can send them to schools maybe in secondary. But for various reasons, ministry for Rachel, opportunities that have opened up, we're sending him, and then homeschooling as well, trying to save up there. Pray on for these sorts of things. Supplies. Lastly, pray for salvation. Okay, that is really ultimately the reason we are there. Okay, that there's a great line in, I think it's a baptism service of the Church of England. May the Lord be adding to our number those he's calling. May the Lord be adding to our number those who are being saved. Pray that that will be happening increasingly with all the various opportunities. Let me mention one or two. There's a kindergarten we've had connections with, and Rachel has been wonderful at making, especially with the mums, connecting with them and inviting them to things. Some of who've come. Rachel's run a parenting course, and moms, actually quite a few believers, which is great, but there are a few who aren't, and one lady, an Italian lady, is interested in doing a Christianity basics course in the autumn term. Pray for fruit that will last from that. Those on the WhatsApp group will know about, I mentioned this chap just before we came. This is my cousin. Both of these guys claim to be atheists. And I said to them, look, would you be interested in doing something to consider who Christ is? They both said yes, but my cousin basically bailed. This guy came for one meeting and wants to continue when we get back. And so pray that these guys who make these claims would actually follow through, and not just follow through, but that they'd encounter Christ and repent and believe. We also tend to use our home, that's our home, the back garden, whenever we have children, because Kenya is still a bit open, whenever we have kids for things, birthdays and so on, I make it a point to tell them a Bible story. Okay? people are much more open, parents are much more open to listening to it. So whenever we do it, at some point I will, as a feature, I will do a Bible story. And the kids tend to listen, very engaged. That was I think, Ezra's birthday. And loads of kids just listen, and you tell them a story, point them to Christ. Pray that even for these little ones, there'll be a connection to Christ that will last. Hospitality with Rachel, again, that's been a wonderful connection. Through Rachel's cooking, she's been invited to make cakes and so on. And then we've got to know people we'd never have got to know. But even may these things be chances to know more, share more about Christ. Let me finish. I think I've got one more. Let me finish with this. Whenever I speak, I like to assure people, don't think and despair for us. We feel it's tough, but we're at the very right place to be. Okay, so don't. I spoke somewhere, and people go, "Oh, do you want to come back to England?" And no, we don't. Okay, we feel this is exactly where God wants us to be, and this verse has been a comfort to us. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, or what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, reap, or store away, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you, those in Christ, are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And so rather than worry, we definitely feel a sense in which, hard as it's been, challenging as it's been, that this is the place God wants us to be to serve his kingdom. And we've seen some wonderful fruit already. And we pray that God would help us not to be anxious. And with the partnership of so many praying for us, to not let that distract us, but to stay focused on the task of all of Christ for all of life, for all the world. Safety, strength, supply, salvation. We thank you for your partnership. Please keep praying for us.
Before you go, we want to pray for you, just to really emphasise that safety. Our eldest Alex, he's been out in the refugee camps up on the Kenya-South Sudan border with work. He works for the United Nations, and we get a text or WhatsApp message through. Nothing to worry about. We're on critical lockdown. Heavy machine gun fire everywhere. I knew it wasn't actually that serious because he included his mum on that one. If it's serious, only I get to know about them, and I tell his mum. There'd been tension between different communities in there. They've got access to serious heavy weaponry. Fortunately, they weren't taking pot shots at the UN, but they were, you know, there was bloodletting for 24 hours, and you know, that's a very different scenario. And again, as you'll know about, a very huge communities of people there, just from all over Africa, just sort of stuck in these incredibly inhospitable areas as well. So, you know, there is a huge amount to pray about. But let's pray, Kip. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Kip. We thank you for his love for you, his commitment. And we pray that you be with him and the family now, and that this would be a very refreshing time here in this country. But as they go back, Father, we do pray for safety for the family there. We do pray that you would sustain, that you would strengthen them, that you would meet their needs in terms of the supplies that they need. But above all, Father, we do pray for salvation. We pray that your gospel would be heard, and that many, many, many would respond to the wonderful message there. And Father, we do pray for revival. We pray for revival in the land of Kenya, across that nation there, but as well we pray for our own land here, that revival would once again sweep through this land. So Father, we pray that you would be with Kip and the family now and in the future as they return. Keep them safe. Continue to encourage them, pour out your spirit on them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.